everyone. My name is Matt. I'm one of the ministers here at St. Mark's, and I'd like to wish you Happy Father's Day or Grandfather's Day, if that's your experience, but also a warm welcome to you if you're with us, especially for the first time. Great to have you here. What would happen if I died? I like Father's Day. I enjoy Father's Day because I don't have to do too much. I just turn up and eat the sausages, enjoy the presents, and I got some fantastic DVDs this weekend. But the other kinds of parties I don't enjoy because sometimes I get asked to do things, get the kids ready to go off to a party, and I don't do a very good job. And sometimes Amy, my wife, will come back from shopping and she'll say, "Are we ready to go?" And I'll say, "Yes." And she'll go, "Well, what are the kids wearing? Spots and stripes. Pajamas. Have you got the present?" "Oh, yeah, it's in a bag." "Well, have you wrapped it? Have you written in the card? Have the kids written something?" She says, what would happen if I died? Who's going to look after these things? Who's going to buy the present in the first place? Who's going to get things ready?" I just want to pause for a moment, though, on this Father's Day, and ask you this question. What would happen if I died? What would happen? I'm the breadwinner in my family. I work. We've got two small kids. My wife looks after the two small kids. We live in a church house. What would happen? People would miss me, I hope. Be a sad funeral. A few months would go on. Maybe 6 months or so. Be an awkward conversation. "Well, can we use your house for something?" Who would step in? Who would care for my family? Who would share with them? Who would love and protect and look after them? Probably blood family. Probably Amy's mum and dad. And they're here this morning and they're lovely people. They've got a spare room. Probably it's blood family who would look after them. But I want to talk this morning about God's family. And the picture that we have from Acts 2 is a picture of God's family and what they're like. And at the end of it, there's going to be a big challenge for you. You probably know where I'm going. But please open up to Acts 2, verse 42. We're going to have a look at this picture of the early church. So Jesus died, resurrected 3 days later, came back for 40 days, and he taught, lived, ate with his followers, and then went back up to heaven. And then there's this incredible event called Pentecost, in which one day there's 3,000 people who become believers in Jesus Christ. Someone gives a sermon that day. It was pretty good. This sermon won't be as good as that. But 3,000 people became followers of Jesus. So there's the beginning of the church there in Jerusalem. And we get an insight into what this church is like. And really there's just two characteristics that I want us to see from Acts 2, this picture of God's family. The first one is that they are devoted to Jesus. And the second one is they are devoted to Jesus' family. Well, firstly, devoted to Jesus. Have a look at 42, 43. So this early church, these 3,000 people, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. The apostles there, they're the kind of specially selected disciples, not just the 12, but probably 120 or more. And they had lived with Jesus. They had heard him preach and teach. And they were sharing Jesus' word with others. And the people were devoted to hearing Jesus speak. They gathered to hear what Jesus had to say through these apostles. And they were involved in fellowship. They were devoted to loving the people that Jesus had saved. And the breaking of bread, this is eating together, sharing a meal together. They were devoted to sharing their life with Jesus' people. And to prayer, they were devoted to prayer, speaking to God in the power of Jesus. Jesus had made it possible for us to speak to God himself. They were devoted to that. What does devoted mean? You just think about it. It's devoted to something that you love. It's something that you're willing to sacrifice for. And they were devoted to Jesus, to hearing him speak to them, to loving his people, to speaking to him in prayer. just want to pause for a moment and take us out of that early church here to Avalon. Are you devoted to Jesus? Or has it cooled off a little? Do you remember the first time that you met Jesus, you began a relationship with him? If you don't know Jesus, I'm glad that you're here. It's so good. I want to tell you about Jesus. I want to tell you about the church. This is the picture that we're looking at today. But for those who are Christian, for those who are believers, has it cooled off? Are you devoted to hearing him speak to you? Devoted to being in his presence? A couple of years ago when I was doing full-time ministry, I realized that I was reading the Bible during the week in order to prepare a talk at the end of the week. It became work. I was reading a text in order to do a presentation. I realized, man, what I want is to feel the presence of God. What I need is to have him speak to me. And it cooled off my relationship with him. I wasn't devoted to hearing him speak. I had to start reading differently each day and every day and hearing Jesus speak. And there's an incredible thing that happens in verse 43. It says, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. So in this early church, not only are they teaching about Jesus, but they're performing miracles as well. You could say, here's a picture of God at work amongst these people. If you were to look at them, you would say, God is here amongst these people. Not only are they teaching, well, Jesus has the power over death, so believe in him. But these apostles also have the ability to heal blindness and say, well, you are healed. And believe in Jesus who has the power. It's a picture of people who are devoted to Jesus. A picture of God at work amongst a community of people. I want to just encourage us. A series that we've been looking at the last few weeks is about growing. And I want to encourage us, same church of Jesus Christ, to be devoted to Jesus. Hearing him speak, loving his people, speaking to him, and to grow by being devoted to him. Well, the second characteristic I want us to see is the way in which they are devoted to Jesus' family. So from verse 44, it says this, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. An incredible picture of people devoted to one another, devoted to the family of Jesus. They are together. They have everything in common. In fact, if one person needs something, they'll sell land or possessions that they have and they'll give so that person is looked after and cared for. They met together every day in a large gathering, just in the temple courts where there was space for a few thousand of them. But they also met together in small gatherings, in each other's homes. And they shared life over a meal. They ate meals together with one another. They were open, they were honest with each other. And they did so thankfully and joyfully. It says with glad and sincere hearts, they shared life over a meal. They were devoted. What did they love? What did they sacrifice for? Jesus' family. If you're part of Jesus' family, it says here you are known. You are known. You are loved. You are cared for. You are provided for. This is the picture that we have here, devoted to one another. And they get this from Jesus. He was the most welcoming, most hospitable person ever. You see it in his life as he eats with sinners and those who would later betray him. He eats with all kinds of people. He spends time talking and sharing and speaking. But pull us away from this early church and look back to us here at St. Mark's. What are we like? Are we welcoming? Are we hospitable? Are we loving? Has it cooled off? Has it been hard to get into the community here at St. Mark's? Is it hard to be known and to be loved? A little while ago, I had a bunch of young guys from church come over for dinner, and it was a great time. We broke bread together. We spent a couple of hours in our house. In a sense, I'm a mentor to these guys in some way, a spiritual mentor, but we were friends. in a very real way, sharing a meal, my family, with these four or five young guys here from church. And it was a great blessing to me to open up, to talk with them, to have time to be able to talk about relationships, to have time to be able to talk about what's it like to be a Christian at work or at school. And it's an incredible thing. I'm blessed through that spiritual friendship with them. Or my family is. My son had an awesome time with these older guys. And the thing is that when, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking this, when my son's about 15 or 16, and he doesn't want to listen to me, he's going to go to those guys. And I know they're going to say the same thing as me, which is an incredible blessing to me because I heard what they said about loving Jesus, about being a Christian at work, about relationships as a Christian. Incredible to have a spiritual friendship where these guys are a few years younger than me and a spiritual friendship with my son who is less than half their age. There's an incredible thing here of how God honors this community as well. In 47, as they gather, they praise God and they enjoy the favor of all people. And it says, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So 3,000 people in one day, as they're devoted to Jesus, devoted to each other. Each day, more and more believers, more and more followers of Jesus Christ were added into this community. An incredible picture of God at work. If you were to look into this community, you would see surely God is here with these people, drawing more and more people into that community. I want to encourage us to grow by being devoted to Jesus' family. But I want to pause a little bit and just share with you this truth. God is devoted to you. This is the motivation. This is the beginning. This is what we need to put our eyes and our hearts and our minds. God is devoted to us. How do I know that? What does it mean? What does he love and sacrificed for? It's us. John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the world. He gave his one and only son. So that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. The cross of Jesus Christ that we remember when we do communion, his death and his resurrection, is a picture of love and of sacrifice. But you know, it's also a picture of hospitality, ultimate welcoming hospitality, the cross of Christ. Because when Jesus takes all the sin upon himself and dies in our place for us, we are adopted into God's family. We are welcomed into the family of God. Broken sinners are able to stand before the presence of the holy and pure God of the universe. Our motivation for being this kind of a community, for being people who are actually able to be devoted to one another, comes from the cross of Jesus Christ. He was radically generous. God himself died in our place. We are cleansed. We are seen as pure in the eyes of God. We are adopted into God's family. Thinking about fathers especially today, but our heavenly Father, our Father who is in heaven, we can say that truthfully. If I ask the question, what would happen if I die? Part of the answer is, I will go to be with my Heavenly Father. I'm not afraid of death. I will stand before the holy, righteous, and I'll be blameless because of Jesus Christ. The second part of the question I want to, what would happen if I die? What would happen to my family? Well, I'm going to ask you to take care of them. As people devoted to Jesus Christ, devoted to Jesus' family, I ask that you would care, share, protect, provide for my family. I told you it was going to be a big challenge. But this is the picture that we see of the early church. This is a picture of what it is like to be a believing community. I'm going to give you a few more challenges before we end. The next one is this. This is a picture here of what our home groups could be like. These early Christians met in a big group, like a large gathering now, but also in smaller groups in each other's homes. And sometimes when I talk to people about home groups, not in this church, people say, "Oh yeah, home groups are great because you get like a lecture, and then you go to your home groups. It's more like a tutorial, and you can discuss questions." But that's not the picture here. It's not like a university tutorial to discuss information. If you have a look, what is the picture that it's like? Yeah, you gather around the Word of God to hear Jesus speak to you. And you have the ability to share with Jesus in prayer. You can speak to God as a small gathering of people. But you have the opportunity to share life, to be devoted to one another in that small group. That's 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 people. To eat together. To drink together. To share life. To know each other and to be known. It's an opportunity for God to save people and draw them into your home group. For God to add them in. The third challenge is a challenge of spiritual friendships. You might be a father or a grandfather and you've come to church and you're thinking about the barbecue that's happening later. But here at church, here's a spiritual reality. You're also a spiritual father and a spiritual grandfather or mother. And so if you've come to church and you see these little kids here at our church, congratulations. They are your grandkids. They're the ones you love and care for and protect and mentor and see them grow. They're the ones you can disciple and have in your life and be in their life as you would your own blood grandkids. That's what the Jesus community is like. That's what it means to be devoted. Spiritual friendships. I got this from chatting with Sandra. I hope you don't mind me sharing this story. She said, "Yeah, I have an affinity with other old people because we know what it's like to have those aches and pains. But I have a closer relationship with someone who could be 20 or 30 years younger than me because we have God as our Father. Because we are both believers." Who is your spiritual friendships? It's not based on age. It's based on having the same Father. The fourth and final challenge that I just want to leave with you this morning is that we're an honest community. We're honest that we are messy and we are broken sinners. And we tell stories. We share our life as we break bread. That we are messy and we are broken, but Jesus Christ is so great. He loved us. He died for us. He cleansed us. He enabled us to be part of God's family. He is so great. We are messy and we are broken. And we kind of avoid that. A couple of months ago, I bumped into a friend from St. Mark's and we're kind of walking past each other and I said, "Hey, how you going?" He said, "Well, hey, how you going?" "Well," I said, "Okay, yeah, how are you going?" "Oh, whoops, that was a bit awkward." And he paused and he said, "Actually, I've had a terrible week." "Thank you for asking again. I actually want to be honest with you. Something happened and I've just gone back to really destructive stuff that I thought was in my past. And I had that other thing where I'm just so busy. I've got an appointment. Can we meet a bit later?" And I went to his house and we sat on the back deck and we had a coffee for a couple of hours and we just talked openly, the messy, broken stories of life. And we prayed and we praised God at the end of it with a glad and sincere heart, and I was blessed by that, as I hope he was. And it makes me think about the whole of Avalon. You know, everyone seems to be okay in Avalon. Unless you get the chance just to peek under the surface a little bit. And there's stress on marriages, and anxiety to do with work, and there's health issues, and just under the surface, it's messy and it's broken. And yet for us as a community, if we share, you know, I haven't got it all together. I'm messy and I'm broken. And church is just full of other messy and broken people. But do you know who is great? Jesus Christ. He loved us. He died for us. He welcomed us into the family of God. I don't fear death. And I have a community of people, we don't always get it right, who are spiritual friends and grandmothers and grandfathers and sons and daughters to me. Spiritual friendships that crosses barriers. Let me encourage you. Grow by being devoted to Jesus and by being devoted to his family. Why don't I pray? Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we do thank you that in your Son, Jesus Christ, you have forgiven us completely and you have drawn us into your family, a new family. I pray, Father, in everything that we do, that we would be devoted to you. Devoted. Fire our hearts, I pray. And I ask that you would change us and transform us to be people who are devoted to each other. Sacrificially generous, welcoming, hospitable, sharing life together, thankfully and joyfully with glad and sincere hearts, forgiving one another, bearing each other's burdens, caring, loving and protecting each other, crossing boundaries of age or different cultures. So the crossing boundaries of comfort and of being with those who are like me, so that, Father, we can be honest and we can have something to offer to the community around us, and we have a chance to really point them to you. May people say, "He is a picture of God at work in this church. God is here with these people." I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.